Roger Sherman, signer of the Declaration of Independence, said, "Sad will be the day when the American people forget their traditions and their history, and no longer remember that the country that they love, the institutions they say that they cherish, and the freedom they hope to preserve were born from the throes of armed resistance to tyranny and nursed in the rugged arms of fearless men." America would be spared a thousand evils if its people would lay the axe to the root of the tree. When we fail to do this, we give permission to the branches, the errors, which only begin to thrust out the truth which it works against. This is the responsibility of the Protestants, and it is the modern-day Protestant that believes what is not taught in the Bible. They practice ordinances that are not based off of scriptural authority. Away with the commandments of men, and down with the traditions that make void the laws of God. Charles Spurgeon.
The Sons of Liberty is a politically neutral organization. We believe that the Christian ethic has provided the principles on which this nation was founded. It is our belief that these principles provide a framework for American government, but are also essential to the maintenance of a fair and just society. All program content is based on a Christian biblical worldview.
One of you said to me recently that we shouldn't rock the boat. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you that I am a boat rocker. Boat rocker. Boat rocker.
Good day, America. Welcome, Christians, conservatives, constitutionalists, liberals, libertarians, communists, Islamists, LGBTQ, RSTV, WXYZ people, all the boat rockers in the house, and anybody else I may have missed, to the Sons of Liberty radio show, where we use the Bible and the Constitution, not to see who's on the right or the left, but who is on the straight and narrow. I'm your host, Tim Brown, coming to you live in the U.S. occupied state of South Carolina, the editor at sonsoflibertymedia.com, and for our Muslim friends, I'm the infidel that Allah warns about. I hold to the book, the Bible, as the authoritative word of God. Glad that you guys have joined us this morning or this afternoon. If you'd like to check us out online, please do so. sonsoflibertyradio.com, also sonsoflibertymedia.com. Excuse me. In fact, if you're listening by way of the radio, you want to watch the video portion of the radio show, head over to sonsoflibertymedia.com. We've got two videos at the top of the page. The one on the right side is this morning's morning show. So if you'd like to catch that, you can do so up until 6 o'clock in the morning, at which time we'll be live in that area. On the left side of the page is where we're at. Click on the play button, blow it up whatever device you got, look for the Rumble icon there, and click on that. That'll be in the bottom right-hand corner of that video. If you click on it, it'll take you over to our channel, Sons of Liberty Radio Live on Rumble. We have some friends over there this afternoon, so good afternoon, guys. Good to see you. And while you are there, please subscribe to that channel. It's Sons of Liberty Radio Live, Sons of Liberty Radio Live on Rumble. We're also on beforeitsnews.com, top of the page over there. DLive.tv at The Sons of Liberty. And, of course, our Facebook pages are kind of down because I'm in Facebook jail. But if you want to head over and look for our Sons of Liberty Media Facebook page, go over there and check that out. Also subscribe to that page too. We would appreciate that very much. All right. If you've tuned in and you're listening for the velvety voice of Bradley Dean, he is not here. He is attending some things again. So we set up that I would go ahead and cover for him today. He should be back tomorrow. So if you're waiting on, if you're eager to hear him, he'll be back with you tomorrow. But today I got a guest on, and I'm going to bring him on in just a second, but I just want to show you something. This is what we were talking about yesterday. You guys remember we were talking about the emoluments clause of the Constitution. We're talking about bribery, and we're talking about this $400 million plane that the largest funder of Islamic terrorism, Qatar, wanted to give to President Trump. And President Trump said, yeah, man, I'd be foolish not to turn this down. This is such a great gift. I'm such a great guy. I deserve to get this, right? And they're wanting to pass it off. At one point, at least, it was being said it was going to pass it off to the Trump Foundation. And then we were hearing about the Defense Department or whatever the case may be. Everybody knows it's a bribe. We know that's what it is. Let me show you some of the evidence we're already seeing. This is the first thing. Trump announces end to serious sanctions before meeting ex-Al-Qaeda president. These were the alleged rebels. They're not rebels, they're jihadis. And they're funded, armed, and trained by, guess who? Your CIA. By the way, Songbird McCain and the traitor from my state, Senator Lindsey Graham, they're the ones that funded these guys. They armed them and trained them. They're the ones. That's number one. This is the second one. Look at this. Are you ready? Trump signs agreements with Qatar on defense and Boeing purchases. There it is right there. Listen, these guys on the other side, they're playing a game with you over impeachment stuff, just like they did the first time. They're playing a game there. These are real crimes. This is a real crime. Okay? It's right there in your Constitution. It's right in front of your... They aren't even trying to hide it. It's right in front of your face. And yet, I mean, even some of his supporters called out. I showed you that yesterday. But we're not going to be talking about this today. We're going to be talking about the WHO pandemic agreement and also the PrEP Act and why it needs to be repealed. And I got in touch with our friend James Roguski and asked him, I said, James, because I had just seen his article come out on the WHO pandemic treaty and why it needs to be tossed on the wastebasket, the trash heap of human history. And James jumped on with me here with about an hour's notice, and I'm glad he joined me. James, it's good to see you, brother. Welcome back to the Sons of Liberty.
Well, thank you very much for having me. I know time is limited, so dive in. Where do you want to start?
Well, I'll tell you what. Let's start with the pandemic agreement. Now, we're going to have a break come up in about 3 minutes. I'll let you know over that, and we'll have to cut them off kind of quick. But let's start with the pandemic agreement. What's gone on there? And I saw what you did there. You made little A, big G, greed, agreed. So I saw what you did there. Can you tell us what's gone on with that?
What you are referring to is in the subtitle of my article. I sort of quoted what they have been saying in these negotiations for 3 years. And there's a reason why they say it. We'll get into the details after the break. But they have said time and time and time again, nothing is agreed until everything is agreed. Now, I put a little play on words there by making a little A and capitalizing the word greed, because what's really going on here is in these negotiations, they're held up and they're not likely to be finalized this year because greed on one side is battling with greed on the other. It's not good guys and bad guys. It's they all want a piece of a multi-billion dollar, if not trillion dollar pie, and they've been having a hard time reaching an agreement. And what is the latest bit of information is I got confirmation of something that I have been saying because I read the documents and I analyzed them. But now, just this morning, they published official documents, finally. You know, here's what the document is. Here's what it says. They have not reached agreement on like the whole reason why they're negotiating something called the Pathogen Access and Benefit Sharing System. They use the acronym PABS. And what that really means is if we go looking for some pathogen to scare people with, there's money to be made. Everybody wants a piece of it. And so we'll get into all the details after the break. But it's kind of entertaining on one level. I think they're going to be trying to sugarcoat their failure to actually agree to the thing that they've been arguing about or negotiating about for 3 years.
Yeah, and we've had you on the morning show. Many people don't know that who listen in the afternoon. We had you many times in the morning show, and you've explained that this is kind of a treaty to kind of let everybody do just that. They can have that kind of control over things. We'll talk
to you. It's a corrupt business deal that fits into the bribery scheme that you started to tell us.
Yeah, yep. Exactly. Yep. Hang on. We're going to cover this on the other side of the break. SonsOfLibertyMedia.com, SonsOfLibertyRadio.com. Hang on.
Wisconsin Christian News, a 48-page national newspaper unlike anything you've seen before. Hard-hitting commentaries, politically incorrect, vital news and information you can't get anywhere else. Get a free sample copy. Email Rob at WisconsinChristianNews.com and mention the name Bradley Dean.
Caution, side effects of this newspaper for liberals and evangelifish include, but are not limited to, uncontrolled fits of rage, weeping and wailing, and the urge to curl up in a fetal position in a safe space in your mama's basement.
Hello, friends. This is Bradley Dean from the Sons of Liberty Radio.com. Did you know that George Barna's research group recently found that after surveying pastors from across the country, that less than 10% of them preach out against the issues that they know that they should address? And when we look at the said representatives in the halls of government, well, need I say any more? Are we as a nation ready to take responsibility for righting the wrongs? Join us Friday, March 21st at 6 p.m. at Jack's House Bowl. Hope to see you there.
Don't have a place to go to church on Sunday? Then come join us at the Sons of Liberty and Bradley Dean. For many people, finding a home church that preaches the gospel in accordance with the scripture can be difficult. Many churches today have become self-help centers and very humanistic without pointing their finger to Christ and the cross that all genuine Christians must bear, just as our Lord did. If you are looking for a church that preaches the truth without compromise from the inherent Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, then look no further than joining us every Sunday at 9 a.m. Central Time on the Sons of Liberty Radio, live on Rumble.
Hey there, this is award-winning international journalist Alex Newman. We live in a world dominated by fake news, lies, manipulation, and it's just out of control, folks. Our country is in big trouble. Our churches, our families, we need honest journalism today more than ever. And that's why I founded Liberty Sentinel Media. I hope you'll visit us today at libertysentinel.org, where you'll get access to exclusive content exposing the threats to our faith, family, and freedom while equipping you to fight back. Go to libertysentinel.org today.
Peter Marshall, chaplain of the United States Senate from 1902 to 1949, he said, "The choice before us is plain, Christ or chaos, conviction or compromise, discipline or disintegration. I am rather tired of hearing about our rights and privileges as American citizens. The time has come, it now is, when we ought to hear about the duties and responsibilities of our citizenship. America's future depends upon her accepting and demonstrating God's government." Abraham Lincoln was right when he said, "In regards to this great book, the Bible, I have but to say it is the best gift God has given to man. All the Savior gave to the world was communicated through this book. But for it, we could not know right from wrong. All things most desirable for man's welfare, here and hereafter, are found portrayed in it."
Welcome back to the Sons of Liberty. I got with me James Roguski. You can find him at jamesroguski.substack.com for more of this this information. And James, you've got this new article out, "The Pandemic Agreement Must Be Thrown on the Trash Heap of History." And if you wouldn't mind, before you get into that, can you clarify and for our afternoon audience exactly what this treaty is doing? I know you can make it real concise in a minute or two. Because a lot of people think, well, this is just about, you know, they're going to enforce rules and this, that, and the other. And there's some things like that on there, but there's something else that's taking place. And when you shared it with the audience, I was like, oh, okay, I get what they're doing. It's sort of a battle over territory of which they can distribute their poisons and things is what it seems like to me. Can you kind of explain that to them?
The short 30-second elevator pitch is, these negotiations, and it's complex, it's not just the pandemic agreement, there are other things, are essentially a very corrupt business deal to funnel money through the WHO and through a new bureaucracy attached to a new agreement to Big Pharma. Because you and I may have learned certain lessons over the past 5 years, but what they learned was actually that Big Pharma was not big enough, believe it or not. They want to dramatically increase, to the tune of billions of dollars, the ability to manufacture more, I believe, fraudulent PCR tests, more things like remdesivir or ventilators or biological products that some people call vaccines, but I actually think are biological weapons. They want to be able to manufacture those all over the world. They want to, you know, essentially outsource the manufacturing capacity, the means of production, so that those things flow like water. And, oh, you want a jab? How many would you like? And, you know, they have not questioned one, not one word has ever been spoken questioning the big pharma solution. They are just moving forward with, you know, oh, we need more of that. And the problem was we didn't have enough. And I just oppose that with every fiber of my being.
Yep, I do too. I do too. All right, so let's look at this. What have you got in what you have presented at your Substack?
Okay, so first off, there are many things going on with these negotiations. And so the pandemic agreement is one of at least two things that we can and should talk about. The other being amendments to the international health regulations, totally separate set of negotiations, totally set of documents and agreements. The pandemic agreement is scheduled to be voted on by the World Health Assembly. Now, the World Health Assembly is subtly different than the World Health Organization. The World Health Assembly is once a year a delegation from each of the member nations, 190-some nations, have a party in Geneva for a week, and they are the ones who are supposed to be the governing body of the World Health Organization. They're supposed to make the decisions, and then the organization is supposed to do what this supposedly democratic body decides. Well, one of the things they're going to be asked to decide upon is to whether or not the assembly should adopt this new agreement, which, you know, loosely is a corrupt business deal to funnel money into big pharma. Adopting it as an assembly is not the same. It's the first step. It's not the same as having a nation sign it and become a party to it. Now, in short, they've been having great difficulty in reaching an agreement on the whole reason why they're there, which is, how do they monetize pathogen information? They refer to it as the PABS system, P-A-B-S, Pathogen Access and Benefit Sharing System. If a nation identifies a new pathogen from, you know, maybe some poultry operation or dairy farm or sewage treatment plant or out in the wild in some bat cave or wherever, okay, that information is worth billions of dollars. Think about the genetic sequence that people claim was SARS-CoV-2, and look at the billions of dollars that the pharmaceutical companies made, not just with the jabs, but with drugs and devices and fraudulent testing equipment and all that, you know, test kits and all that. It's a multi-bazillion dollar business. And what happened back in 2021 is when South Africa and Botswana identified the Omicron variant and they handed over the genetic information, they didn't get a contract and say, hey, if you turn this into money, we want a piece of the pie. They just handed it over. And they were not happy that Pfizer and Moderna turned it into a couple of more billion dollars, essentially took their, as they view it, sovereign intellectual property and turned it into money and didn't share any of the profit. That's the benefit sharing part of the pathogen access and benefit sharing system. So for people in the United States who think this doesn't impact us, you're wrong, because every pharmaceutical company that's based in the United States wants to participate in this, even if the United States government is not a part of the WHO and doesn't sign the treaty. That doesn't mean that the corporations don't want to, you know, make profit from whatever pathogens they may find. Now, the problem that most Americans are unaware of is our Defense Department is already doing this. We've allocated $5 billion through the National Defense Authorization Act back in 1992 to funnel through the World Pandemic Fund to build laboratories and do exactly this, go looking for pathogens to turn into biological weapons that go through the PREP Act, which we'll talk about, and the Biosecurity Act, into our national stockpile of products that are called countermeasures to respond to, you know, biological warfare attacks. There's an additional $3 billion a year that we pay through taxes and debt to buy pharmaceutical products to put them in the national strategic stockpile. And you're not allowed to ask, and they're not allowed to tell what they're buying because that's a national security issue.
Well, James, can I ask you a question about that?
Please do.
When that's going on, aren't we violating all kinds of other treaties we've made with people about biological weapons?
I believe that we are.
Yeah.
But the way they finagle it is they say, well, you know, it's not a biological weapon. It's a countermeasure. And the research that they're doing is dual use. When you look at it, you know, people talk about gain of function and all of the different things that they're doing. Even if they never actually declare a pandemic, even if they never declare an emergency or a public health emergency of international concern, the contracts still get put in place to put the products in the stockpile. So even if they don't ever mandate it or people don't voluntarily get the jabs, this is a money-making venture. I mean, think about it. And I got to give credit to Aaron Seary because he's the first one who really did a good job of explaining this. I'm pretty sure he did it many times, but certainly on his Tucker Carlson interview, he said to Tucker Carlson, hey, I got a business proposition for you. You're not going to believe it. We make these poisons, we put them in bottles and they get injected into people. Don't worry about what's in them. That doesn't matter because if they're approved through a PREP Act declaration, we don't need to do any studies. We don't need to do any clinical trials. You know, it's approved by the government. And as long as a PREP Act declaration for those products is in place, we cannot be sued. And if it harms people, well, you know, too bad on them. It's an emergency, you know, it's biological warfare, whatever you want to call it. The government will buy the products from us and they'll promote them, telling everybody that they're safe and effective. I mean, if somebody came up to you with that business proposition, you would think that they're trying to scam you out of your money to invest in these products. But look at, you know, the Trump administration and people in government and ask how many of them are deeply invested in mRNA technology companies.
A lot of them.
And that's what the WHO wants in on. They want to be in on the distribution network and the contracts that go through them to basically put all of these products in place, just in case, maybe at some point in the future, there might be a pandemic. Okay. Now, this is the problem with the PREP Act, which I am, you know, actively hoping that people will understand that you need to read the PREP Act.
Yeah. Please hang on, James. Hang on. We got a break coming up here. I want to get to that because you've got seven things here of why it needs to be repealed. I want to get to those on the other side, if you don't mind. SonsOfLibertyRadio.com, SonsOfLibertyMedia.com. Hang on. Be right back.
Have you ever listened to someone speak and have felt completely captivated, basically unable to look away and hanging on every word? The kind of speaker whose passion, knowledge drives and stirs something deep within you, making your heart race and your mind question everything you thought you knew? Well, if so, you're in for a wild ride. This show isn't for the faint of heart. It's actually for the bold, the thinkers, the patriots, and the truth seekers who care to face these uncomfortable realities. Welcome to Sons of Liberty Radio with Bradley Dean. It's a show that will challenge you, awaken you, and make you see the whole world in a new way. Bradley is a force of nature, uncompromising, fearless. He's ready to rock the boat. It's time to tune in to find out why this program is shaking up the airwaves and sparking conversations everywhere. Don't miss out. Visit bbsradio.com/sonsoflibertyradio. And discover why Bradley Dean is a true boat rocker.
Martin Luther King Jr. rightly stated that I must admit, America, that I was initially disappointed in being so categorized as an extremist. But as I continued to think about the matter, I gradually gained a bit of satisfaction from being an extremist. Was not Abraham Lincoln an extremist? This nation cannot survive half slave and half free. Was not Thomas Jefferson an extremist? We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. So the question is not whether we will be extremists, but what kind of an extremist we will be. We will be extremists for the preservation of injustice, or will we be extremists for the cause of justice? He goes on and says, history will record that the greatest tragedy of this period of social transition was not the strident clamor of the bad people, but the appalling silence of the good people.
So you want to make a difference, but you don't know where to start. You've been listening to the Sons of Liberty radio show and keep thinking to yourself, there are so many others who need to hear this message too, but you don't know quite how to reach them. Well, then this is the perfect time for you to stop thinking and start doing. Why not schedule an event in your community with Bradley Dean and the Sons of Liberty? It's easier than you probably think, and the impact can literally be life-changing for those who attend. We all have loved ones, neighbors, and those around us that need to not only hear the truth, but be moved to action to do something about the problems that we face and make a difference in their own lives and communities. So don't wait. If you want to learn more on how to schedule an event with Bradley Dean near you, then give us a call at 1-866-233-0747. That's 1-866-233-0747. In your world today.
BBSradio.com.
A republic versus a democracy? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. We are a constitutional republic. We are not a democracy. E. Stanley Jones said, grace binds you with far stronger cords than the cords of duty or obligation can bind you. Grace is free, but once you once take it, you are bound forever to the giver and bound to catch the spirit of the giver. Grace makes you gracious. The giver makes you give.
Welcome back to the Sons of Liberty. All right, if you have joined us and you are looking for Bradley Dean to be on, sorry, I'm not him. Jim Brown, I'm the editor at sonsoflibertymedia.com, and I'm filling in for Bradley today. He should be back tomorrow. I was planning on him being, and he called me last night. He says, oh, I got one more day. I got to do this other thing. So I'm filling in today, but Bradley should be back, Lord willing, tomorrow. And we've got with us our friend James Roguski. You can find him at jamesroguski.substack.com. And we're talking about the WHO pandemic agreement along with the PREP Act. And before the break, James was about to get into the PREP Act. And sometimes, James, these breaks come up really fast. So I want to point people over here, and I want to get you to talk about the PREP Act a little bit. These are seven reasons that you've got on your Substack for why the PREP Act must be repealed. And you've written these out as constitutional violations, tyrannical powers, oversight is needed to prevent abuse of emergency powers, blanket legal immunity, failed compensation program, transparency for public health measures, and erosion of public trust. Do you want to go into this just a little bit and kind of help people understand maybe each of these things? We can do that.
Absolutely. And so there's actually another document, which are the eight reasons that are the subcategory of how it violates the Constitution. But the starting point, you know, next time you're having a beer or a cup of coffee or dinner with a friend or something like that, ask their opinion. What do you think about the PREP Act? And I would venture to guess that 99.9% of the time, you know, the answer that you'll get is, I don't know, what's the PREP Act? Okay. So the PREP Act was put into law. It was signed by President George W. Bush almost 20 years ago, December 5th, 2020. I encourage people to go to repealtheprepact.com. And if you just simply read the first line of the PREP Act, you'll understand where this is headed. It's not about preparing us for the future. It's tied to, you know, buying a bunch of biological weapons and putting them into storage in the strategic stockpile. But the purpose of the PREP Act is not about preparing. It's about giving protection from lawsuit or liability to anyone who administers, manufactures, distributes, you know, doctors, hospitals, pharmacies, pharmacists, pharmacy techs, you know, anybody involved in not just vaccines, but all of the hospital protocols, the ventilators, the remdesivir, the drugs, everything you can imagine, all of the various tests that they may perform. If any harm comes to anybody regarding any of those things, the PREP Act gives liability protection. You cannot sue them for any of the harm, damages, or loss, including financial loss, including marketing and media, and, you know, they can lie about it, and there's nothing you can say. You can't sue them. And so that's actually what's called a taking. They've taken away your First Amendment right to redress, have a redress of grievances. If you disagree with the decisions made by the now all-powerful Secretary of Health and Human Services, you cannot bring that to court anywhere. And I remember a couple of years ago when I first read the PREP Act, I was shocked. I can still feel what it was like with my jaw hanging open going, I can't believe what I just read. There's a section in part B7 of the PREP Act that says no court, no federal court, no state court will have subject matter jurisdiction over the declarations made by the Secretary of Health and Human Services.
How can that be?
That's, you know, you sound just like I remember sounding whenever I read it several years ago. It's like, you got to be kidding me. That's how you create tyranny.
Yeah, that's exactly what, because they're, what, James, they're running roughshod over what the judiciary branch is set for, so the people can bring them in to deal with these criminals who are supplying these poisons that are against, I mean, they aren't even, the federal government is supposed to be involved in healthcare, let alone stuff like this, let alone giving blanket coverage for corporations. But,
I'm having fun with you here, but you know, the high pitched squeal in your voice,
yeah,
with your just guttural response to what are you talking about? That is wrong. That cannot be, you know, that is clearly abhorrent to the concept of the three, you know, division of three branches of government and the checks and balances and the Constitution, Article 1, 2, and 3. But it gets better. Okay. It violates your right, you know, to under the First Amendment to bring a redress of grievances, but it totally wipes out due process of, you know, hey, they just took away the right to sue companies, which is the Seventh Amendment right to a trial by jury for anything over $20, even if you factor in inflation. You know, anybody who's been harmed by any of the hospital protocols has a right to sue for the damages. And they've just trampled on, there's another section of it, that it preempts all state law in regards to any kind of health protocols in terms of, you know, are these things really safe and how do you have to do the protocols and everything. The Ninth and the Tenth Amendment just got wiped out. And so there's just in one of the seven ways, you know, it's just abundantly in violation of the constitutional structure, and it's completely, you know, violating our rights under at least five of the amendments. So I've got a whole document on repealtheprepact.com just about the constitutional violations. Well, how does that ultimately manifest? Well, when the secretary is given this power to decide what whatever he says. You know, if a drug has been formally approved by the FDA, he can give that legal protection, the use of it and anybody who uses it. But if something is emergency use authorized, by definition, that means there haven't been appropriate clinical trials. They haven't done long-term safety studies. You cannot lawfully say that an EUA product, emergency use authorized product, is safe and effective. But hold on a moment. What did they put on the childhood schedule for COVID-19 for babies as young as 6 months? No, it's not an FDA-approved version of the injection. It's an emergency use authorized version. So when six-month-old babies are taken by their parents to their pediatrician for their well baby exam, they're not doing what they think they're doing. If they give them a COVID-19 injection and then a second one and then a booster before 9 months, they're actually covered persons, the doctor is, who are administering a covered countermeasure as a biological warfare response to a national security issue. You're not taking care of your baby's health. You're being sucked into a dynamic that you don't comprehend, because under that emergency power, they don't have to give you all of the information because they don't have it. There is no proof that it's safe and effective. There is no chance at having giving your informed consent. Okay. All the bets are off. And they know that if they just do as they are told, they're covered.
So James, when Donald Trump was telling everybody, hey, this normally takes all this time, but we got it done in this amount of time, what he was saying was, we didn't do any of the studies. We didn't do any of this stuff. We're going to use emergency use authorization, which they did illegally because there were treatments that people were getting when they got sick, and they were trying to shut natural treatment. I mean, I would have never in my wildest dreams thought that somebody would have tried to go after doctors for giving people vitamin C, for instance. That just seems silly to me. But yet that's what they were doing. So you're telling us that he basically, and all those people, the scarf lady and all the other Fauci and all this, they never tested this stuff. They just kind of threw it out there to the people.
They certainly did not get the jabs that are being given to babies to be, you know, through the process to be FDA approved. Now, this whole scenario where you can rush things through and somebody just says, oh, we're going to use this, and if some harm comes of it, you know, nothing you can do, you can't sue them. And what it really does is it fuels the contracts to take other ailments and put products into the national stockpile, because the PREP Act is not just about COVID. There are currently 9 PREP Act declarations, the declaration being the Secretary of Health and Human Services in past years has just written a document, submitted it to the Federal Register, no vote in Congress, no public debate, no signed by the president, you know, none of that sort of stuff. There are 9 ailments, things like acute radiation syndrome, botulism, anthrax, pneumonia, Zika, Marburg, Ebola, and probably a few that I'm missing, where if you find yourself in the hospital and you're diagnosed with any of these problems, they're free to do what they are told is a covered countermeasure. They're not obligated to do it. It's not a mandate. But if any harm befalls the patient who is administered these treatments, you can't sue for damages. And so if you think about how that might skew a hospital administrator's decision-making process, oh, if you want to use, you know, some drug off-label or some natural product or some herb or some other
James, thing, hang on. Yeah, hang on for me just a second. We'll be right back. Final segment with James Roguski, sonsoflibertyradio.com, sonsoflibertymedia.com.
Content Christian Media Conference is hosting a one-day event on Monday, February 24th at Prestonwood Baptist Church in Plano, Texas. It's one amazing day of fellowship, networking, screenings, panels, and inspirational keynotes. There'll be breakouts on filmmaking, storytelling, writing, distribution, and more, with lunch included. It's perfectly timed, just before the start of NRB.
Register at ChristianMediaConference.com.
This is Bradley Dean from the Sons of Liberty Radio.com, broadcasting live Monday through Friday at 2 to 3 p.m. Central Standard Time, as well as Saturdays from 1 to 3 p.m. Founded back in 2004, BBS Radio TV stands as a trailblazer in remotely engineered broadcasts over the internet. BBS ignited the new media revolution, offering a powerful platform for vital voices such as ours and alternative perspectives that mainstream media often silences. The Sons of Liberty's BBS live broadcasts spans into 46 countries and streams into 200 of the world's largest internet broadcast stations, with on-demand syndication across all major social networks and podcast platforms. The visionary twin brothers Douglas and Donald Newsom crafted over 100,000 radio and web TV episodes for more than 1,000 satisfied clients. BBSradio.com.
Don't have a place to go to church on Sunday? Then come join us at the Sons of Liberty and Bradley Dean. For many people, finding a home church that preaches the gospel in accordance with the scripture can be difficult. Many churches today have become self-help centers and very humanistic, without pointing their finger to Christ and the cross that all genuine Christians must bear, just as our Lord did. If you are looking for a church that preaches the truth without compromise from the inherent Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, then look no further than joining us every Sunday at 9 a.m. Central Time on the Sons of Liberty Radio, live on Rumble.
Per your request, if you're looking for unique and creative ways to spread the gospel and give people the gift of truth in a way it'll be received, then check out the Sons of Liberty Radio.com. There's something there for everybody in your life: books, DVDs, t-shirts, coffee mugs, even graphic novels, dog tags, and more. Young or old, you're sure to find the perfect gift of truth. Again, go to the Sons of Liberty Radio.com and check out our store today.
BBSRadio.com.
The annual Wisconsin Christian News Ministry Conference is set for April 4 and 5 in Wausau, Wisconsin. Learn more and get your tickets today at WisconsinChristianNews.com.
All right, welcome back to the Sons of Liberty. Final segment here. I've got James Roguski on with us. And James, didn't mean to have to interrupt you there, but the breaks music kind of comes up pretty quick. Finish your thought there, and then I want to get on to some solutions here, so that I want to make sure people do understand what's going on. And I think probably you're the best guy out there for explaining that. Go ahead and finish your thought that you were sharing with us before the break, and then let's get to some of those things as far as solutions for the people to be focused on in engaging it.
Whether we are talking about WHO and their negotiations for a new pandemic agreement, or we're talking about their amendments, which we really didn't mention, that were adopted at their last meeting on June 1st of 2024 and can still be rejected as long as every leader of every nation just sends a letter to the WHO rejecting the 2024 amendments by July 19th of 2025, or we're talking about the PREP Act, which takes away the liability and you know, even attempt of filing a lawsuit when people are harmed. All of it centers around the fallacy that the solution to, you know, prepare for and prevent and respond to any type of infectious disease outbreak, whatever they want to call it, outbreak, epidemic, pandemic, whatever it might be, their definition of terms is that the pandemic-related health products are not things that I take for my health. They're only these fraudulently applied PCR tests, drugs and jabs and devices and biological products. And now they've added cell and gene altering therapies. It's essentially, look, we're shilling for big pharma. We want, whether we're the United States government or the WHO, we want to be in control of making the decision of, oh, that pathogen has pandemic potential. They don't need to show that it has killed people and, you know, people are dropping like flies and getting sick all over the world. If they just claim that it has potential, if the Secretary of Health and Human Services just says, well, you know, I have decided that possibly in the future there might be a problem. So here's the products that we need. Go sign the contracts and put them into the stockpile. Their cronies make billions of dollars. Now, we've been doing that for decades, and the WHO wants to get in on the deal. What they learned is that it's a very profitable business model, and on a global scale, they're going to be competing. You know, what I unfortunately see is something very akin to a Cold War biological arms race. The United States Defense Department and all of the associated laboratories around the world are busy looking for pathogens. And when they find something that has potential to profit from, they put it in the national stockpile. You're not allowed to ask questions because it's a national security issue. Well, the WHO wants to be in charge of the manufacturing and the distribution and logistics and the warehousing and the regulating and the approving and, you know, having a whole big bureaucracy set up that's very much like the Framework Convention for Climate Change. They want to have a framework convention for the prevention, preparation, and response to quote-unquote pandemics, because they know with climate change, it turned into a $1 trillion a year, you know, racketeering mafioso scheme. It's big business and it's very profitable if you can get the government to buy your product, because everybody's afraid of something that might happen. Look at the parallel. Oh, you know, the earth might go into global boiling, and so you've got to give us money. This is what they're trying to do all over again with the world of, you know, pandemic preparedness, prevention and response. And it's just a scam. It's a complete and total scam. And they have failed because greed on one side is arguing with greed on the other. They haven't been able to work out the details of how they're going to share the benefits when they give access to pathogens. So the pathogen access and benefit sharing system has not been detailed. It has not been agreed upon. And they're going to try to sugarcoat over the fact that they got a whole bunch of words in a document, but they really haven't agreed to how they're going to, you know, divvy up the pieces of the pie, which is our money. You know, whether it's from taxes or debt, they want to funnel billions of dollars through their corrupt organization. And it's not through the WHO, it's through a conference of the parties to oversee this new agreement, like they've had the conference of the parties for climate change, where, you know, tens of thousands of people have a party once a year and, you know, go work out business deals with other people's money.
This is absolutely incredible that these kinds of things are allowed to go on. Again, it goes back to everybody that's probably listening right now. I know they have the mindset that says, wait a minute, why are we doing this with bioweapons or countermeasures, as you use the thing? Why are we doing this? The sad reality, James, is we're funding all that. So one of the things I know that you're calling for is the repeal of the PREP Act. Now, that'll be at the federal level. Mm-hmm. Can people do anything at their local level to push back against this? Or is the only means that you're seeing here is to repeal the PREP Act, which I think needs to be repealed because it looks to me like it's pretended legislation. It's not real law because there's no authority for it.
For those people who want to do something, as you well know, I always give out my phone number. And so if you want to take action, give me a phone call directly. My number is 310-619-3055. It's on all of my information. But really, the first thing is for people to get properly informed, because I'm going to guess that 99.9% of everybody in the country has never read the PREP Act. It's actually not that hard. It's only 20 pages. If you go to repealtheprepact.com, I actually have a highlighted version. If you only read the highlighted spots, you'll get the general idea of it. And I heard the sound in your voice when, you know, you looked at it, or we were talking about it. You're like, what? You know, so what you're looking at is the one page piece of legislation. All we need is a law, you know, to be passed by Congress saying, no, that thing that happened 20 years ago, and we didn't really get a chance to talk about how it got put into place. It got tacked onto the end of a Katrina relief bill. And so they didn't even see it coming. And boom, it's law. And so a one page bill to just say, look, the PREP Act is hereby repealed is all that's needed. But, you know, really what this is, number one, is an educational task first. As soon as people read it and they comprehend what it actually is and what it does and how it actually impacted the practice of medicine around the country over the last 5 years in a very, very big way, the only people who are for it are the people who realize that it's protecting them from being sued because they've harmed people. So if you're busy jabbing people in a clinic or, you know, doing things in a hospital with remdesivir and ventilators, I could see why you would want the PREP Act to still be in place, because it covered your butt. For the rest of us, this is why it's become frightening to even think about going to a hospital, because you don't get care based on what's best for you. You get care based on a decision made by a bureaucrat who's working with big pharma to, you know, turn a big profit with products that are not tested, but they have been covered with a blanket of immunity, not the kind of health immunity that, you know, your immune system wants to develop, but legal immunity so that you cannot sue them when they harm you. And so this is something that I've dedicated from now until the midterm elections. I'm going to be focused on getting people to understand what the PREP Act is. Just go to repealtheprepact.com, learn about it. And if you want to take action, give me a phone call, 310-619-3055.
Okay. All right. And, you know, James, one of the other things, excuse me, is that people can go, if they don't really understand all of what you've said here, you break all this stuff down in little chunks, and then you give videos, you give a lot of information here on your Substack, which people can go to. I just want to bring this up real quick. I was bringing that up just so that people could be able to check it out. JamesRoguski.substack.com. JamesRoguski.substack.com. And again, James has his phone open to you guys if you need help. James, are you still doing things where you're going through stuff and you need people to kind of do some editing and stuff like that
this
as well?
We
got about 30 seconds.
There's an infinite list of things that people can do. And my function with all of this is to find where someone's heart and passion and talent is. There's certainly something that everyone can do regardless of, you know, where they're coming from and what their focus is. So absolutely.
Okay. All right. James Roguski, hang on and I'll say goodbye to you off air. Guys, catch Bradley tomorrow at 3. He should be back here. And then Lord willing, we'll be back in the morning, 6 a.m. bright and early. Same bat time, same bat channel. Catch us then. Talk to you then.